You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to the Leadership Special, where Christian leaders find strength, wisdom, and encouragement to lead with grace, courage, and purpose. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and I've had the privilege of interviewing nearly 1,000 guests over the last 20 years on various aspects of their leadership activity and journey. So whether you have a leadership title or are simply aiming to use the influence you have wisely, I hope you'll enjoy this next conversation and join us again next week.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck.
Welcome to the show that aims to encourage and equip Christians who lead. If I mention the words 12 steps, your mind would probably go to the highly influential and successful recovery program used within Alcoholics Anonymous. But I wonder if you've heard of the STEPS course developed by my guest today. This is also 12 steps, but is based around the Bible's teaching on our need for change and supports people looking for freedom in many more areas than just alcohol addiction. My guest's name is Lars Due Christensen, and the course was developed in his homeland of Denmark in 2006. Lars himself has served as pastor in both Denmark and a senior pastor of Christ Church London until the start of this year. He's also a qualified psychotherapist, which we hope to explore a little more in the conversation. So great to have you on the show, Lars.
Very good to be here, Andy.
So your journey to creating the STEPS course, first of all, Lars.
Yeah, well, this was, of course, back in the days. A little bit more than 20 years ago, at the church in Copenhagen, we saw many people coming to our services from a traditional 12-step environment. So when we asked them, why are you here? They would typically say, well, we have met this higher power who has helped us becoming sober, and now we want to know who he is.
Okay.
So that would be a typical way for them to talk about it. And that kind of made us really interested in what's this really about. And also then how can we help them to find a way to connect their experience with the 12 steps with the Christian environment. So that was the whole way in. And we decided that I should try to make a course as a bridge building project for these people. So that was actually the start of it.
Okay. I'm familiar with that how higher power is part of the AA kind of nomenclature, the kind of language that's used. I wasn't aware that they necessarily would have connected. That's a lovely to hear. So forgive my ignorance.
No, absolutely. So I think many share that ignorance, to be honest. Absolutely. The higher power really plays a big role in a traditional 12-step environment. And I've had the chance to visit some of these environments as well. And to be honest, at times it's felt like, you know, a revival meeting in the 1970s or something like that. This whole atmosphere in the room and so on. So that took me by surprise, how prominent a role that plays.
Okay. So your course is arranged in three sections. So perhaps you could just give us a brief outline of how it works.
Yeah, sure. So the three sections are finding peace with God, finding peace with ourselves, and finding peace with others. And then we actually end by focusing on how can we maintain peace. And yet, this would be a quite traditional way of looking at the process going through the 12 steps. But for us, it really became dominant in the sense that I realized personally when I acquainted myself with the 12 steps that this was really something I needed myself. That was not about alcohol or anything else, but a character issue, realizing there was too much anger in my life, realizing that there was way too much pride, self-centeredness going on in my life. I was very good at hiding it, very good as a pastor kind of having a way of describing it with holy words. It's all about God's project, but in reality, very often it was about my project and my prominence wherever I was. So I realized some of those things and the devastating effects it had in my own life, but also in the lives of those close to me. So that changed my whole attitude. And I realized, well, I am in need of finding peace with God. I'm definitely in need of finding peace with myself. And I can see something needs to be healed in my relationship with others. So that was really what drew us into the process in a very different way, where it became way more about finding peace, growing in discipleship, growing as Christians, then eventually inviting people who had no clue about the Christian faith into the journey, realizing that they really loved meeting us as Christians in that place where we were not the ones with all the answers, but we were normal people also struggling with life in need of help. So that's really how things started to form and shape in the early years, and how those three headlines, finding peace, became very prominent.
Well, bless you for your candor. And it's lovely to hear your honesty in terms of how you benefited from the course yourself, even as you were leading it and developing it. So that's terrific. So I understand the course saw a large take up during and after the pandemic. Perhaps you could explain why you think that was.
Well, sure. I mean, it took us by surprise. We actually considered not doing a course because everything went online and we had no idea whether this would work or not. Fortunately, we decided to do that. And suddenly we had 140 people signing up in the course of 2 weeks or so. So obviously something was happening, which was new to us. And basically people said, well, the pandemic had made them realize some of the things going on in their lives, because business now looked different. So suddenly they had way more time on their hands. Suddenly they were much more with their partners, with their families, and it came way more to the front what was really going on, and also dysfunctions between them and the people they were living with. So that made them aware, I really need to work on things in my life. So that created the motivation for people to join.
Lars, you came to serve in London. Those who know their English history will know of the Danish influence on the nation here, particularly from the 5th to the 9th centuries. How similar are the two nations today from a ministry angle, from your perspective?
Well, I, of course, have to give an apology first for that part of your story. Really sorry about that. So, there are actually strong similarities, and I don't know how much is felt in the UK, but definitely in Denmark, there's a felt bond with the UK in terms of also what happened during the Second World War. We felt like our bond was with the UK. They kind of saved us in many ways. People were listening to the BBC radio in Denmark to be informed about the war. So there's love there, and there's a sense of connection, definitely. And UK would probably be mentioned more in the newspapers more than any other European countries, that's for sure. And what I found was that there are definitely similarities in terms of way of thinking. There are similarities in terms of a sense of humor. That's the same language, more or less. And I guess that's also why we realized that we had done steps in Denmark for 10 years when we came to the UK, that it worked exactly the same way coming to the UK. It was received in the same way. And our journey with people through the steps felt really similar to the journeys that we had experienced in Denmark as well.
I've had guests before, in fact, a UK-based missionary to Stockholm, who, of course, you may know, Sweden is known as a fairly atheistic country. Would there be some similarities in Denmark in terms of the spiritual temperature?
Oh, definitely. So probably Denmark is even more secular than Sweden. Things are changing now in Denmark. But when I came to the UK 10 years ago and talked to leaders of churches and denominations, they had the sense that we were 10 years ahead of the UK in terms of in terms of hedonism, in terms of secularity of society, and so on. Today in Denmark, there is a movement which is very interesting, both amongst very influential people, some of the most known comedians and some of the MPs in Denmark come out talking about their longing for God and the belief in the Christian values and so on. So churches across the board, across denominations, talk about people just turning up for services in a way that we're not used to. So something is happening now in Denmark. Too early to say really what it is, other than something is definitely brewing, something is changing. A bit like we know from the UK, where we talk about the quiet revival and things changing, things happening. So there's a similarity, there's a parallel there in Denmark, definitely.
Oh, that's great, great to hear, Lars. So, I mean, our conversation will prompt some to check out the Steps course for themselves. We'll give opportunity for you to share exactly how they can do that. But I think it's worth, too, exploring the value of better understanding our inner world for anyone leading others. What prompted you to train in psychotherapy, Lars?
Well, I think I've always been interested. I've always kind of loved having the close conversations with people. And I always felt like I do need some tools, even though I've been a pastor for many years, I've received the normal training and so on. I thought I need some methodology to what I'm doing. And that was actually what made me start to take the education as a psychotherapist.
Excellent. And why would you say it's important for Christians in leadership to have a kind of decent understanding of themselves and what makes them tick?
Well, if I can quote the Bible, it would be John 10, where we read about the Jesus being the shepherd. And we know that is kind of a strong vision of what is a Christian leader, really. And one of the characteristics of the shepherd is that he knows the sheep. So in other words, we need to know what we lead, otherwise we can't lead it. And we know that to lead others, we need to be able to lead ourselves. We cannot lead others further than we can lead ourselves, which means we need to know ourselves well. And this whole field is an excellent tool in terms of getting to know yourself better and therefore also to lead yourself better and hence being able to lead others in a more qualified way. That's at least what I have found to be true in many ways. And I felt like even though I have a theological background, I've also studied philosophy. This gave me something that I had been needing over the years and which has helped in terms of the leadership ministry.
Would you agree that dealing with our ego, if we can use that language, is a challenge for many who lead others?
Oh, absolutely. And for very good reasons, we need to be a bit kind to ourselves because so many eyes are on us. We are constantly under, you could say, the judgment of other people. So it's hard not to go that direction. And most of us actually fall for the temptation and we end up actually filling too much of the space ourselves. So we grow instead of having Jesus growing, to be honest. So even though we know the language and we have the right theology, the reality is often that we end up having very fragile selves because we are too preoccupied with how do I look, how do I achieve, how do I accomplish. So that ends up filling the space for many of us Christian leaders, other leaders as well, of course, but definitely also in a Christian context. And there's definitely still some of the whole expectations of Christian leaders, which takes us in a wrong direction, where it's not allowed really to be a fragile human being, but you are expected to be something else up there on the pulpit, which is really not helpful for us, and which often creates a situation where we have huge failings of leadership. Originally, often because they were pressured into a place which led them in a very wrong direction, just to find comfort or find peace or find help with a pressure which had grown too high for them. So I think there's something in our whole way of being together as leaders where we need to talk about that in a more real way, talk real about what's actually going on, where it doesn't become a strange thing to be vulnerable, to be open about this is what I'm struggling with. This is what's going on in my life. I'm a normal human being. And we live in a society, we live with impressions around us that affects all of us. And therefore, we need help, leaders as well as other people.
Yeah. You started your answer by saying leaders need to be kind to each other and kind to themselves. And that strikes me as being a key element that often a leader has not asked for the expectations to be placed on them. They're seeking to serve, do their best, and they discover they're suddenly in this different world and a different set of pressures that maybe they've not been prepared for at all.
Absolutely. And leaders are often the harshest judges on themselves, which of course needs to be changed.
Yeah. Lars, you'll be aware that psychotherapy and therapy has a mixed reputation within the church world. Some have fears that non-believing philosophies might creep in. I used the word ego in my last question with a little kind of feeling of, well, that is a Freudian concept, you know, which is not a biblical one. So how do you respond to people who are saying, oh, your pastor now a psychotherapist? Have you departed from the faith? What's going on?
Well, I think I first would say I totally agree with your concerns. We should be concerned. We should kind of take care of the treasure God has given us and make sure that it's not polluted, of course. And there would be many kind of therapies out there that I would disagree with and where I would be careful as well. So we need to keep sound judgment of everything that we do, including psychotherapy. I would definitely say that. So what is, I think, important is to look at the therapy form that we are engaged with. Is that a form that we can see in the Bible as well? It doesn't have to be based on the Bible, but does it agree with the biblical principles that we see? If that is the case, it's just a help. It's just a tool to translate some of the biblical principles into real-time language and experience of us human beings, and we need that sort of help.
Yeah, okay. Lars, there may be people listening today who, if they're honest, are battling with addictions of one kind or another. They may or may not be leaders. So what would you be saying to them as they're listening and perhaps feeling a bit uncomfortable as they're hearing our conversation? What would be the next thing for them to do?
Well, I think you're putting it very right, saying they might feel a bit uncomfortable, which I totally understand. That's also what we see when people come for the STEPS course, is that at the start, they feel uncomfortable, which is very understandable because we don't want to find ourselves in a situation where these things are going on in our lives. So we know we weren't born for that. We know we were born for something else, created for something else. So it's very unpleasant to find ourselves in need of help because we are stuck in patterns that we really don't like in our lives. So I would say, from the bottom of my heart, seek help because you need it and you're not going to fix yourself. I've never met anyone who managed to fix themselves when they were stuck in unhelpful patterns. We always need help. I think God created us to be in need of help, help from him, but definitely also help from one another. And for that, we need frameworks. STEPS is an amazing framework. We know that. We know that it works. And there's for sure that there are other frameworks as well. So the bottom line is seek help in your situation and sooner rather than later, because nothing is gained by waiting. It only deepens the pain. And it deepens the effects of the unhelpful behavior, whatever behavior that is. And just to say, a pastor friend of mine from Oxford, he put it like this. He said, we are all addicts. If not of anything else, we are addicted to ourselves. I thought that was quite provoking, but I thought, well, probably he has a point too. There's something very human about that. So it's very good to have an honest look at ourselves and say, why do I keep allowing this thing going on in my life? Instead of looking out for well-proven tools to find help and a new way of living, which is more fruitful.
Well, it might be helpful, Lars, for you to, we've talked in general terms about the course. If someone was to go to the course, or just imagine a complete stranger comes to sign up for the course, what would happen in the first session, for example, as a kind of hint?
Yeah, very good question. So what we say is you can't sign up for our STEPS course, but you can sign up for an introduction.
Okay.
And at the introduction, we kind of let really people know this is what it's about. This is what you can expect. This is what it entails. And then you can make a decision on whether you want to be on the course or not.
Okay.
That seems to be really helpful to do it in that way. That kind of ensures that when we then are together on the course, everyone, they are motivated and they know what this is about.
Right. And Can you give us a little window without giving a game away as well? Because obviously you want people to, to use the course. But what would be the kind of experience for that first session? Say that I've decided I come and kind of come on the course. I go to the first week. What happens next?
Yeah, very good. So, I mean, people would then, they would read a chapter in a book. They would watch a film, which lasts about 20 minutes. They would do an exercise, which is a thought exercise, and they would reply to some questions for reflection related to the content of the first chapter. The first chapter in the steps process is about admitting that we are powerless with the thing that we are working on, whatever that is. And that is looking at powerlessness, again, from the biblical principle, that that's actually a powerful thing to admit your powerlessness, because it's a place where we find ourselves, we find relationship with others, and where we find relationship with God in a new way. Therefore, it's powerful. But that's kind of where we move in the first chapter, in the first step. Then when we meet, you would hear a story from someone who's been through the steps course typically and talking about their experience. Then we would sit in groups and we would share our reflections. And what is different from other groups is that no one would comment. No one would say, oh, really? Do you mean that? And ask questions. They would just listen to us. And we would say, thanks for sharing when we are done. And they would say, thanks for sharing. Or I would say, thanks for letting me share. And they would say, thanks for sharing. And then the next one shares. So that's really how it goes. And we have found that that's an amazing way of being together, actually. And you listen to yourself in a different way when you know no one is actually going to comment. I don't need to explain this to others. So I really hear myself well in a group like that when I reflect aloud with other people listening. So that's really what goes on. And then we end by talking about, so what are we focusing on for next week? In this case, that would be step two, which is a step of hope, where we reach out for help to meet God in our powerlessness.
And is the assumption that someone might have faith to start with?
Well, everyone can take part. So typically we have between 10 and 20% of the people participating who would say that they have no particular church background or particular opinion on faith. They may be open to it, but haven't made a decision on it. We even have had Muslims on our courses who really liked it and benefited from it. But of course, the most part would be Christians. So we would phrase it like this. It's a place where the Christian can grow in discipleship alongside unchurched people, growing in freedom and finding faith in the process.
Okay. And if a Christian leader is listening and thinking, hey, this could be something to incorporate within my church program, would this be kind of something you would put on once a year, once a term? What would be your advice in terms of the regularity of this?
Well, it depends on the size of the church. So most of the churches running steps would do it once a year. A few would do it twice a year and would do it often in a rhythm with alpha courses. So it would function for them often as a beta course. So they use it as a follow-up from alpha. And it works really well in that regard. So that would typically be the rhythm. We have many pastors who choose to go through the process themselves. So I would twice a year offer an online course for pastors. So just this year, we have 30 pastors going through the lead pastor course. That is a good way to get acquainted and for pastors to be in a kind of very safe environment to share their own stuff. So we do that as well. Then we do online training for the ones leading the groups, facilitating and so on. So we kind of have a fully developed support system for it. So it takes very little actually of churches to run it, because if they want to, we do the majority of the work, and all they need to do is actually come with the group leaders and with the people who sign up from their church. That's basically it.
Excellent. Well, as we close, Lars, I guess the next thing is to tell us where people can access all this.
Well, we have an excellent website, if I dare say so myself. It's stepscourse.org. And there all the information is. My contact details will be found there as well. Church leaders are more than welcome to get in touch with me. But stepscourse.org, that's where we are.
Well, terrific to chat with you, Lars, and exciting to hear how God's been using this course, and the work both in Denmark and the UK is so exciting to hear. So thank you.
Well, thanks for having me, Andy.
That was my conversation with Lars Due Christensen. That's Lars, LARSDUE, Christensen, Christ, ENSEN. The author of the Steps course, and go to stepscourse.org if you want to discover more about that particular course. And it is absolutely free. So there's no cost to it. If you wish to use it within your local church setting, then it's there. It could be a real blessing to you and your church, perhaps alongside an Alpha course or another inquirer's type of course. And if the conversation has triggered anything in you or reminded you of needs that you have to break free, then please do get in touch with Premier Lifeline. The number is 0300 111 0101. That's 0300 111 0101. That's 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. And there'll be someone there you can talk to, that they may pray for you and then maybe pass you on to more specialist help, depending on what your area of need is. And as Lars mentioned, if you're a Christian in leadership, then it is always a challenge, and any work that we do on our inner selves before God can be of benefit, whatever that may look like. And so maybe that's an encouragement for you to find some help if you're Christian in leadership and you're aware that things are particularly tough, and maybe some self-help work, or at least God-help work, is going to help to liberate you. So this is Andy Peck. Thanking you for your company. Looking forward very much to the next time. Bye for now.
Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
Been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.